It's time for overtime.
Ready for this?
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Now to Giannis. Giannis with 50 in two of his last three now. Pulls up. 15-footer. Yes, sir!
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome in to a beautiful Thursday, July 16th edition of Overtime. A lot of fun, a lot to break down, and Lionel Messi. Unbelievable performance again yesterday. Believe it or not, Argentina back into the World Cup final. They're gearing up for Spain, a team that will not let them off the hook. Argentina is who we thought we were. And we'll dive into that matchup here. The final coming up on Sunday, Spain and Argentina. And it'll be third place, ho-hum, womp-womp, for France and England coming up Saturday afternoon, 4 o'clock on Fox. We talk soccer, football, and more in today's program. Good, bad, and the ugly in hour number two. But immediately next, hour number one reserved on Thursday mornings for some Vikings talk. Dustin Baker, Stone Baker in studio. VikesNow.com, TradeVerdicts.com's Dustin Baker will be joining us here in a moment. We got a lot to talk about, a lot to debate for the Minnesota Vikings, including the combination of quarterback Kyler Murray and head coach Kevin O'Connell. Is that a good one? Is Murray actually a fit for the system? How much faith does Dustin have that the system can evolve for the skill set that Kevin O'Connell has not had at the quarterback position like Kyler Murray just yet? And also, we promised you last week, we're going to talk about training camp battles. People out there attending training camp, keeping an eye on a preseason game or two. What positions and areas of emphasis are up for grabs for the Minnesota Vikings? We can talk backup punter. We can talk backup center. What positions are up for grabs? We'll give you five Vikings training camp battles to follow, and I would imagine maybe quarterback is on that list. We'll dive in coming up here on the Vikings Chatter, Vikings Thursday with Dustin Baker of VikesNow.com. Really darn soon. Hour two, headlines and highlights, MVFC Media Day player interviews. That's right. We heard from UND Fighting Hawk quarterback Jerry Kaminsky earlier this week, USD wide receiver Tyson Bowes, defensive lineman Nathan LaPerry. We also will squeeze in a chat with Jackrabbit quarterback Chase Mason in hour number two. So do not miss your opportunity to get some of that audio into your ears as well in hour number two. MVFC Media Day audio continuing in hour two. And then we round out the show with the latest from the NFL. News for the New Orleans Saints on the front of their veteran running back Alvin Kamara. He's going to be back in the fold. Talk to you about that. World Cup Messi, as well as the good, the bad, and the ugly. Major League Baseball, second half of the season officially off and running tonight. Just one game, Mets and the Phillies from Philadelphia, 6 o'clock tonight on ESPN. That officially starts the second half of the season. Reminder, trade deadline around the corner, a couple of weeks out. It'll be August the 3rd across Major League Baseball. Tomorrow, we'll see all of our area teams in action. Guardians home to the Pirates, White Sox at the Blue Jays, Marlins at Brewers, Padres at Royals, Rockies home to the Reds, Tigers visit the Angels, Cardinals at D-backs, and again, the Twins open up their second half in Chicago at Wrigley against the lovable losers of the past, the Chicago Cubs. 7:05 start time, 6:30 pregame coverage right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. And the WNBA last night, Minnesota got by the Sparks 96-87. Natasha Howard had 10 points, also had 10 rebounds in the win for the Lynx. Elsewhere, Golden State over Indiana 88-75, another dramatic loss for Indiana Fever basketball. Caitlin Clark dinged and dented, no call. We'll sift through some of that drama later on in the show. Clark just 13 points, 1 of 8 from downtown last night. Tonight in the WNBA, two games on tap. Fire at Mystic, 6 o'clock on NBA TV. Liberty visit the Wings, 8 o'clock tonight on Prime Video. In the NBA, LeBron James is still working and waiting for the opportune time to make his decision, if it's not made already, to make it public. Here's Evan Cohen on why a big announcement anywhere but Cleveland might be a disservice to those fans that backed him from Jump Street back in 03.
I don't know what he's waiting for.
I don't know if he's made a decision. I don't know how he wants to announce it. Let me throw this at you. Can he announce publicly anywhere but Cleveland? You can't do this to Cleveland again like this. You can't make a big announcement and then announce you're going to Miami or you're going to Golden State.
You certainly can. Would it be wise, prudent? Would it leave a stain on your legacy in Cleveland? I'm not so sure. We'll dive in to Evan Cohen, LeBron James a little bit deeper later on in the show. A reminder for you NFL fans, we're less than a month away, and frankly, we're about 2.5 weeks away from the season getting going. The Hall of Fame game, Panthers and Cardinals, 7 o'clock on NBC on Thursday, August the 6th, will officially start the season. Preseason week one, Lions at Bengals, Packers at Steelers. That is Thursday, the 13th of August. Broncos open up the season that Friday in Atlanta. And on Saturday, you got Browns at Bears, Vikings at Giants, Rams at Chiefs. That is Saturday, August 15th, which opens the Minnesota Vikings, Bears, and of course, Chiefs seasons. Well, the Open continuing in the PGA Tour world. Get you in a check of the scorecard later on in today's show. Also, some storylines to follow. But let's dive into what we saw at the World Cup yesterday. And frankly, too good to be believed. It was 1-0 England. You felt like, man, that's going to stink. I don't think Messi is doing enough. I don't think Argentina has enough gas here. They've been playing from behind. They've been playing small ball, similar soccer to the teams that they face, whether it be Cape Verde or many other opponents. Egypt had them down 2-0 late stages. England was up just 1 yesterday. Lionel Messi goes to work and ends up assisting on not one but two goals, one in the 85th minute, one in the first or second minute of extra time, as Argentina blasts their way by England 2-1. Here is Tommy Smythe talking about Argentina moving forward, and he thinks this team doesn't have a lot of weaknesses.
They have strength and depth at every position. What they are doing now is they are being controlling the game. Yesterday you saw them. They didn't make any rash decisions in the second half, the last 15 minutes. This is the second game where they were down two goals basically with 10 minutes to go and they pull it out. So they may keep making the right decisions. They have the legs to make those right decisions and they have the talent to make sure that right decision works out for them.
And that big decision coming up early darn soon. Spain and Argentina in the final Sunday from MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. Coverage 2 o'clock on Fox. More from Smith here talking about that matchup and how Spain is a much more serious team than what we saw to England in terms of not giving up a late lead.
Spain have only given up one goal in this World Cup. They're unbeaten in 37 games, which is a record which was only held by the great Italian teams. Their defense is unbelievable. They are going to figure a way to shut Messi down in the final. And I would say if they're leading 1-0 5 minutes to go, Spain would hold out and Spain would win the World Cup.
You know, we were told that England would find a way to shut Messi down. That was not the case, particularly late in the game yesterday. Courtney Cronin not pulling any punches on Thomas Tuchel.
I feel really badly for the fans because they got so close this year. They've been in these semifinal games before. 2018, they couldn't finish the job. They were trying to finish the job this time around. And to see tactical miscues by their manager Thomas Tuchel become the reason that this team is not playing in the final, and the reason that Argentina, which very well, if they finish the job here, this may go down as one of the greatest teams of all time. The greatest team in international soccer, bar none. They've won their last three tournaments. They've been in the final before. They're back in it again. But man, to me, the story here is that England botched this in such catastrophic fashion and set themselves up to do that based on the way that they reacted off the Norway win.
And again, England deserves a lot of criticism yesterday. It felt like a Matt LaFleur playoff game yesterday for Team England. They lose 2-1, but let's build up Lionel Messi because certainly generationally talented, the best player of all time. If you got an opinion on that, I got to tell you something. It's widening based on how much better Messi has been lately down the stretch here, last 3, 4, 5 years, than Cristiano Ronaldo. Ronaldo's really great. He can be GOAT 1B to GOAT 1A, but you feel like that overall line of demarcation is widening a bit. Here's Michelle Smallman on that topic.
I just cannot say enough about how impressive Lionel Messi is at this stage in his career. When we talk about the GOAT, he's got to be it. I know other people might have other comparisons, but to do this at 39 years of age, to have the tournament that he's having, set up both goals yesterday, it's absolutely remarkable, guys. He has 10 assists in the World Cup knockout stage. That's 6 more than any other player in the past 60 years. He is putting a huge gap between himself and the rest of the competition when we're talking about the greatest of all time. And I'm so thrilled that we're going to get to see him on the biggest stage yet again.
There you go. Michelle Smallman, nail on the head right there. I was talking to Dustin Baker a moment ago, and this to me feels like, and this being Lionel Messi and where he is right now, the run he's had over the last 2-3 years. Let's go back 4 years with Argentina winning the World Cup. But certainly, you dive in to the recency here for Lionel Messi. For a long time, it was Ronaldo or Messi. You can throw in Pele. You can throw in Maradona and other guys in terms of the greatest of all time conversation. Now, Messi was right there, and this feels like a Tom Brady 2012, 2013 Tom Brady, when everybody had the argument, the haters of Brady and the scandals that came with Brady and Belichick. Everybody wanted to take some pot shots and say, yeah, Brady's really darn good. He's a winner. But he wasn't the reason why they won those first three Super Bowls. And that may have been accurate, maybe. But then he wins four more. And in his fourth and final, seventh and final victory, on the way, took care of Heineke. Okay. Then goes through Breeze, a guy that beat him twice in the regular season. Then goes through Rodgers. And then goes through Pat Mahomes. No doubt about it, that feels like what Messi's doing right now is widening the gap, leaving no doubt in the words of their Remember the Titans quote there. But certainly, it's been insane. It's been impressive. And I can't wait to watch more. World Cup final gearing up on Sunday, 2 o'clock on Fox, Spain and Argentina. Let's dive across the table now. Talking World Cup, talking NBA, and more, of course, centered up on the Minnesota Vikings, VikesNow.com. Dustin Baker, my friend, welcome into the show. How you doing?
Not bad. It's been a slow Vikings news week, but I've been pleasantly surprised that when that, I mean, this happens every year, we've had the World Cup in the backdrop, and then we had NBA free agency, so it's been less boring than a traditional late June, early July would be.
Certainly, there's a lot going on. What did you make? I know you guys have been heavily invested into the World Cup, mm-hmm. watching, I wouldn't put it past you to say the lion's share of these games or a lot of these soccer matches that we've seen. What did you think yesterday? And are you ready to go ahead and crown Argentina, or is this them playing with fire over and over and over again the way they play?
I don't think that a team has been a World Cup repeat champion in like 50, 60 mm-hmm. years. So I would guess, based on the history of it and watching Spain after they got their poop in a group, that first match was a little rocky for them. I think Spain's going to win, but I thought France was going to, based on what I saw in a very novice eye when it comes to soccer, France looked to me like the all-star team of it all. But Argentina keeps finding a way to battle back. I'm learning all of this on the fly, so it's remarkable to watch what Messi's doing. Of course, the kid in studio next to us is a Ronaldo guy, mm-hmm. and you can't like both if you are a kid or a teen. So I have to do this balancing act of understanding what Ronaldo's all about while recognizing and respecting Messi.
Wouldn't it be pretty cool? I was thinking about this morning when I was in show prep, and I was like, gosh, wouldn't it be amazing to be a new NFL fan and not have any sort of grudges and say, oh, Patrick Mahomes is really darn great, or oh, I like Jalen Hurts too, or this guy's fun to watch. Or as a Vikings fan, you could say back in the day, wow, this Brett Favre guy's really entertaining. Or how about Aaron Rodgers? It would be pretty fun. Like most Americans, not all, but most Americans right now are just blessed with the admiration of Mbappe, and the admiration of Harry Kane, the admiration of Lionel Messi. Feels like a pretty unique thing here. And doesn't it make you feel like, wouldn't it be awesome to go into the NFL like that for the first time with a complete and total clean slate?
Yeah, clean slate indeed. You wouldn't have any...
No hate in your heart.
Existing grudges mm-hmm. that are irrational. I would say I lost a little bit of interest after Norway was bounced last weekend. That was my team. That's where, you know, my family originally came from. And that loss was so devastating because it was winnable. It was like watching a Vikings game or anybody's team when you're like, we could have won that. Like, there was the sort of a breakaway where Holland didn't get the ball passed to him. And then there was the penalty when he pushed the guy and the guy flopped. And then there was the England goal that hit the wire that turned out to be the game winner. Mm-hmm. And like all of those things added up to think, man, this was winnable. It wasn't, you know, Norway was an underdog. They could have won that thing. So yes, a clean slate would be great. I'm going to try to get into some of the Euro leagues, you know, on the show before. We've had Yannick Eckhart, and he's a big Bayern guy. from that German league. And, you know, they go to the Champions League as well. So I'm going to try to follow that and see how much I can learn and absorb.
And certainly it's been a very fun World Cup. It'll conclude coming up this weekend, Saturday, third place game, France and England, 4 o'clock on Fox. World Cup final set for Sunday, 2 o'clock on Fox, Spain and Argentina. Talk about LeBron James. What's your gut tell you? For me, I feel like it's Cleveland or Miami, and then the rest. I would put Philly and Golden State in the conversation, Minnesota, Denver in the back burner area, but still in contention as the top six. Are you in agreement there? Do you have a different feeling about LeBron James's future?
I would still keep Cleveland as the front runner, although at the top of the show, I disagree with the take that it would feel like a betrayal. Mm-hmm. Like, he paid that bill in 2016. Like, it doesn't matter at all if he doesn't go back there now. I don't know a single Cleveland fan that'd be like, really, he did this to us? Like,
I think it was more about the public announcement. If he's going to come out and do another public announcement about, I'm taking my talents to
he won't
here.
Do that. Yeah,
so that was kind of the bulk of the take there. It wasn't about not choosing Cleveland as much as coming out and making a big grand deal and then not choosing Cleveland.
I think the only thing that's a big deal about it right now was the delay, mm-hmm. Where we've been waiting. I think when he went back to Cleveland originally, we knew pretty early in the process, or maybe that was the Lakers signing. One of those happened right away. This one's a little bit more drawn out. I would expect it to happen within the next week or two. I would say I wouldn't rule out a shocker here. Like, what I don't want to happen is him to go to the Warriors just to play for fun, because we know how that movie's going to end. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to look great at the peak of their powers, but then there's going to be a couple injuries. And by the time if they get to the postseason, you know, with the seventh seed or so, they're not going to be fast enough to keep up with the Spurs and the Thunder. So I want him to go to a place where he can win a championship. And the best places for that are Minnesota and Philadelphia. It's just a little dismaying that those are the underdogs right now.
Lastly, before we move off here, we got a lot to talk about in a light Vikings news week. We got the Vikings featured in several articles, including coaching combinations with new players. Kyler Murray, Kevin O'Connell listed there at ESPN.com, wide receiver rankings and more. But for those Minnesota Vikings, I'm excited to highlight camp battles to follow. Quarterback battle. Every week I'm going to check in and just say, what does your heart tell you? What's your brain tell you right now about that? Anything fans need to know that may have changed in the last week in regards to Kyler Murray, J.J. McCarthy, Carson Wentz, and anybody else that has a fair shake in that camp battle to be?
No, nothing has changed in the last week. I would still put Kyler Murray as the overwhelming favorite. I would say 85% or so. And it's just not supernatural. Like, you have a guy who has 7 years in NFL experience, who was the first overall pick, who's 28 years old, who's one of the fastest quarterbacks to ever play football, who has the arm strength that's better than McCarthy's, who's also has the fifth best completion percentage in NFL history. Like, this isn't a mystery to me. Like, if Murray gets hurt, that's a different story. Like, I don't see how on earth Kyler Murray would have signed with the Vikings when he could have picked, you know, he had a pick of the litter during free agency just to get demoted into a backup. And, you know, bless McCarthy's heart, I still think he has a long career ahead of him if his mechanics improve. But I think I've said this in successive episodes. Like, I don't wake up in the morning thinking, God, who's going to win that battle? Like, to me, it's just going to be Murray. And if there's an upset, great. That means McCarthy has the gumption for the job. So for me, it's Murray beyond the shadow of a doubt.
There you go. Latest on the quarterback battle to be in training camp. Might not end up being much of a battle at all. We'll dive right in to the latest and greatest Viking news around the corner. What happened in the last week? The quarterback and head coach combination, if it is Kyler Murray, how does he fit in to Kevin O'Connell's traditional offenses? He's a little bit of a different skill set. And by a little bit, I mean a lot of a different skill set. Far cry from Darnold. Far cry from Cousins. Far cry from McCarthy. Kyler Murray, QB1, how does he fit into the Vikings offense? Also, wide receiver rankings. Justin Jefferson is not the top receiver in the NFL anymore. According to ESPN.com, we dive into that news item and so much more coming up next on this Thursday, July 16th edition of Overtime.
Streaming live online and with the app, this is Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Ooh. right back with you on this Minnesota Vikings Thursday, July 16th edition of Overtime. We will be giving you some more great audio from MVFC Media Day earlier this week. We caught up with our area coaches, then our extended area coaches, all the way out to Normal, Illinois. Head coach Brock Spack, you can listen back to that conversation yesterday on the show. Podcast links up and available, ESPNSiouxFalls.com. We also caught up with a lot of players, including the quarterback Jerry Kaminsky of the UND Fighting Hawks. Enemy territory, I know. Great kid, fun conversation later on in the show. We also talked to the Perry Yotes, wide receiver Tyson Bowes, defensive lineman Nathan LaPerry. And, of course, we could not miss the conversation with Jackrabbit quarterback Chase Mason. All of those will be shared with you coming up in hour number two. But right now, hour number one, before we dive right back into the Minnesota Vikings, Stone Baker wants to talk a little World Cup with us. Stone has been invested from Jump Street in the World Cup this year. Big Ronaldo fan. They had their moments, made a little bit of a run. Argentina now into the final against Spain. Stone, what do you think of the World Cup? How much fun has this entire tournament been for you so far?
It's been a great time for this whole tournament.
And certainly a lot of storylines to follow. Messi into the final. Spain, I would imagine, we talked about it. You can't like Messi. You can't like Ronaldo together. That's like liking Brady and Manning when they were facing off head-to-head. So are you rooting for Spain in the final on Sunday?
I mean, I don't really got a team in the final. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
After Portugal lost and America and Norway took the wind out of his sails.
There
so it's been a hate watch of Messi. Mm-hmm. And soccer fans keep telling me that when you hate watch Messi, it never turns out pretty.
I know. I think you guys might be fueling the fire of Messi. A couple great assists, even though the English defense was supposed to be locking him down. It felt like they kind of let him off the hook a little bit late in that game. 2-1 the final. Stone, each and every week, man, you give us some goodies. What's been going on lately? What's keeping your summer busy? I know you're done with the big summer trip, the international trip, but what's keeping you busy now as we're making our way through the month of July?
Just playing with my friends all day.
Okay. So certainly a lot of fun there.
And Roblox.
Roblox. Roblox there. So Stone Baker, our guest here on a Thursday. Dustin, let's talk a little bit about news of the day, where we are with the Minnesota Vikings. You mentioned moments ago, not a busy news week. They don't really ever feel like they are in July unless you're down in Florida or Mississippi courting Brett Favre to come back out of retirement. Where do you stand right now with the Vikings? What's the news of the week, if any, this time around?
In terms of updates that we do every Thursday, this will probably be the slowest or the most eye-rolling one because there's really not much. I will say that Chris Carter spoke with, I don't know if it's NFL.com, or he was on somebody's podcast yesterday, and he finally likes a Vikings quarterback. He was always milquetoast on Kirk Cousins during that era, those five, six seasons. And you could tell on McCarthy last year.
He was a certified hater of McCarthy.
Like every time he'd open his mouth or tweet, it was like, oh, that's what he's going to say this time. That's anti-McCarthy. It's a different tune about Kyler Murray. And it's refreshing because you'd like to think that Chris Carter knows what he's talking about. And if he didn't like Cousins, he didn't like McCarthy, you know, what gives? Well, he does like Murray. So we might be back, is what I'm trying to say. Madden rankings also came out. There's a big faction of folks that get into those. Notably, Justin Jefferson fell out of the 99 club all the way down to 94. And that really happens when that only happens for a guy like Jefferson when his quarterback production has just taken a tumble. Because you'd be hard pressed to even, you know, ask like the most hardcore Packer fan if Justin Jefferson has declined. I don't think anybody would say like, yeah, he's starting to fall off a little bit. So here's to hoping that Kyler Murray can rekindle Jefferson to get back to that 99. And on a similar notion, ESPN Jeremy Fowler's rankings have come out over the last week where he's polled coaches, executives, and scouts, and the only player that's going to rank in the top 10 of any of those lists is Jefferson for the Vikings. And you know, in the past you could make a case for somebody like Jonathan Greenard. Andrew Van Ginkle had a great year in 2024. There's usually one other player in the Vikings orbit that would get attention as a top 10 at his position, or Christian Darrisaw when he's healthy, but this time it's a lot of others receiving votes or honorable mentions. And Jefferson, I think he ended up ranking number two behind Ja'Marr Chase in yesterday's article.
Safety rankings are out as of today at ESPN.com. Harrison Smith left off because we don't know if he's going to play. If he comes back, do you still have Harrison Smith in the top 10 of safeties in the NFL?
Oh, absolutely not. I would love to say that he is. Like, in terms of his brain, Yeah, but I mean, even when I watch Vikings games with Harrison Smith, I respect it, but like he was a absolute beast like in 2017, 2018, and he's not like that anymore, but he's learned to craft his game to make up for his natural, like, you know, aging system. So, no, I don't know. I'd probably, if I had to sit down and do safety rankings, I'd hope Smith would be in the top 20, but certainly not top 10. That's reserved for a category of guys who's not 37 years old.
Let's talk J.J. McCarthy quickly, because Adam Thielen made an appearance earlier this week on ESPN Radio. I believe it was Rich Eisen I was listening to. Thielen on that show a couple days ago. And it was a softball question with a softball answer, because what is he going to say? But he asked him about J.J. McCarthy. Rich Eisen's a big Michigan man, big fan of J.J. McCarthy. And he said, you giving up on this kid? Is he a starting NFL quarterback? What do you think about J.J.? And Adam Thielen, like many teammates of the present, teammates of the past with J.J. McCarthy, said, absolutely. He's got what it takes, took his lumps, didn't have that year to get ready. He was on the shelf. He was on IR, wasn't out there taking snaps, wasn't practicing with the team. So last year was kind of that year where you take more lumps for J.J. McCarthy. Thielen had a lot of nice things to say. We talked a little bit about you also not ready to give up on J.J. McCarthy. Where do you stand on him, the career expectations, and the many different turns his career could take this season?
It doesn't surprise me that Adam Thielen said that. Thielen has pounded the table for McCarthy before. And back in, May, Brian O'Neill, the Vikings right tackle, was on a podcast. And he said that J.J. McCarthy had the locker room more than any quarterback he's ever seen. So it's not like we have this, you know, immature tool or this brash, you know, Honyaker. Like the guy, like he does the right things among his teammates. The reason I won't write him off is because I'm old enough to remember when Baker Mayfield reclaimed his career in Tampa Bay, or when Sam Darnold in 2024 turned it around. In theory, if McCarthy followed that timeline, it'll be 2029 or 2030 before he settles in and forges a script or a tale like Mayfield or Darnold. Therefore, for me to say, like, oh, he's cooked, he sucks, he's not going to make it, like, he did enough last year to show that he does have the stomach for the QB1 job. It's just that those injuries, I'm on a broken record when I bring this up. Like four different things wrong with him since he was drafted by the Vikings. So the only reason at all that I supported a different quarterback coming in, and then on top of that, Kyler Murray being available, is because I don't know if J.J. McCarthy is too fragile. If he's not, then the Vikings should just roll with him. But with a coach who hasn't reached the hasn't won a postseason game in four seasons, I don't think that Kevin O'Connell had the luxury to say, well, we're going to run this back with McCarthy, Wentz, and Brosmer. I think he had to have a contingency plan in Kyler Murray, and that's why he's here.
And again, new veteran quarterback in town, certainly very much a big part of any NFL roster. Carson Wentz was that veteran last year. Now it's Kyler Murray's team by many accounts. By the way, I got to stop you before we respond further. Honyaker, never had heard that word before. Looked it up. Here we go. Refers to a person who lacks respectability or social graces, a.k.a. Bert. It is derived from the German compound word Honyager. I don't know if you know this, meaning honey chaser, which historically referred to immigrants in Montana who sought sweet opportunities without realizing the challenges they would face. That feels like newfound Vikings fans. Sign on up. Vikings are a great team. And then you realize what you're in for. Honyaker. Love the word. J.J. McCarthy. I agree with you, man. I really do. His career could take so many different turns and avenues. Road less traveled. Could be back in the starter seat via injury or adversity for Kyler Murray. It's interesting the way it goes. If it is Kyler Murray, 85% chance, I think you said moments ago. Before we had the big diversion into Honyaker, but let's talk about the combination. Kevin O'Connell, Kyler Murray, one of the more intriguing new coach-player combos, according to ESPN.com. In that article, they note that Kyler Murray is not a natural fit in a Kevin O'Connell offense of the past. But if he's proven anything outside of the fact that he never wants to run the ball, even though he says he wants to run the football, Kevin O'Connell's proven to be adaptable. And whether it's Jaren Hall, Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold, Max Brosmer, J.J. McCarthy, he's adapted to all these guys' different skill sets. Why can't he adapt to Kyler Murray? I think he will. What do you think about the fit for Kyler with the coach and the offense in Minnesota?
You might recall when the Kyler Murray rumor mill was just germinating, that was the main grievance from Vikings fans was, oh, he's not a system fit. And I kept, you know, shaking my head, putting my hand over my eyes and cringing, saying, well, what do you mean he's not a system fit? Do you really think this head coach, who's a quarterback whisperer, can only whisper to some certain quarterback? Like, Josh Dobbs looked like a stud for two and a half weeks, mm-hmm. and he's not a system
fit. Sold a bunch of T-shirts.
Yeah, so the Pastrnak, I would say Kevin O'Connell has had, let's see, assuming he knew this was coming down the pipeline in February or so, when it's all said and done, he will have had about half of a year to tailor his offense to fit Kyler Murray's strengths. He has a vested interest to do this because he has to get to the postseason and win a playoff game, I think, for complete job security. So to think, well, you know, Kyler Murray's not the ideal fit, who cares? Like, he has all the physical tools. And if you're going to have a quarterback whisperer head coach, that coach better be able to whisper to the quarterback no matter who it is. I would say by the time, you know, October 1st rolls around, nobody's going to remember the idea that, hey, Kyler Murray was a bad scheme fit. The guy has everything it takes to run an offense. I guess the only concern that there might be is a lot of Vikings players and those that have crossed paths with Kevin O'Connell talk about how complicated the offense is. Like Donovan Jackson, a left guard, said that he was running around like a headless chicken last year learning the playbook. And he was just a guard. Like, you know, is it really that hard to learn a guard's playbook? So my only concern in this realm is that the offense is complicated. And even if Murray fits, it's going to take a while to gel.
Certainly, there's a lot up for debate at that quarterback spot. Wide receiver, nothing up for debate. Justin Jefferson, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. He comes in at number two in the rankings at ESPN.com behind Ja'Marr Chase. I think you could disagree with that while also saying, all right, that's fair. If you're going to lose to anybody, it would be his college teammate Ja'Marr Chase, who is undisputedly very special, just like Justin Jefferson. He comes in at two. Other names up near the top. You got Puka. You got Amon-Ra. You got A.J. Brown on the list. Other guys. What do you think? What do you think about Justin Jefferson's ranking? How he stacks up with Chase specifically, and then the rest of the field. If there's one other receiver, if they were two and J.J. was three, which receiver league-wide would you have least problem with being at two, also ahead of Justin Jefferson?
I don't have a problem, truth be told, with Ja'Marr Chase being number one on that list, because I would say for the last certainly 2 years, maybe three, I consider them 1A, 1A, and 1B. They share the crown for best receiver in the league, because when I watch Bengals football, I see a wide receiver who is faster and a little bit more explosive than mm-hmm, Jefferson.
That's true.
Jefferson does certain things better. He's a little bit better of a route runner than Ja'Marr Chase. Not by much, but to me, they are just doing the Spider-Man meme mm-hmm. at each other, like, you know, best in the league. If there was anybody else that was ranked ahead of Jefferson in good faith by somebody that's a credible source, I would say it would be fine if they did Jackson, Smith, and Jigba, with the understanding that they can see that this is going to stick. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put JSN quite there yet, because you want to see more than one absolute fantastic season, and Jefferson has, you know, multiple by now. So I'm a big guy when it comes to consistency. But in terms, like, Jackson, Smith, and Jigba right now is effectuating what we thought he would be back from, what was it, two or three drafts ago? Mm-hmm. So when we look down at our stats here in 2 years, there's a very decent chance that JSN is the best wide receiver in football. And kudos to those who can see it right now before the rest.
And certainly those rankings up and up for debate. JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba out of Ohio State is third. You also got Puka Nacua at four. Amon-Ra five. CeeDee Lamb six. George Pickens at seven. That feels a little early for me to anoint George Pickens as a top seven receiver, but also Nico Collins, A.J. Brown, Davante Adams, rounding out the top 10 at ESPN.com. Lot for debate there. Lot for debate in Minnesota Vikings training camp. If you'd like to head out, they do have their open practices listed at Vikings.com. Make your plans now heading out to training camp or a preseason football game. We also have a lot in camp to watch, including training camp battles. Quarterback is the obvious one, but we're going to get five other position battles for Minnesota, including some interesting commentary, I'm sure, on the running back position. Who should be the bell cow, the lead back? Will there be? And also the fullback that Minnesota drafted, Max Bredesen, is he a roster lock, or could this offense tinker with that position following the retirement of CJ Ham this offseason? That and more on the way. It's Vikings Thursday, continuing with VikesNow.com's Dustin Baker next on ESPN Sioux Falls.
ESPN Sioux Falls gets you back to more of overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you, set to round out and wrap up a busy Vikings-filled hour number one. Dustin Baker, Stone Baker in studio, VikesNow.com. Also, check out a new site out there, TradeVerdicts.com. Deep dive into trades, not just in the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, and the hockey world. TradeVerdicts.com. Latest project for one, Dustin Baker. We're going to dive over to Stone Baker, though. We're playing a little NFL trivia. We've been, I don't know, Dustin, what do you think? Are we decent at this so far? We're a mixed bag together as a unit. There's a lot of obscure names here.
Yeah, I think we're batting about 400. In baseball, that's great, but probably not in this trivia game.
Right. Well, let's pretend we're baseballers here with some football trivia. What's the first NFL football name to know, Stone? What do you think?
Before I say that, I hope you guys do good.
Okay, I hope we do good, too. I'll take that as a good luck wish and a good luck charm from you, Stone. Let's spin the wheel here. Give me all that right. First name to know.
Jamarcus Ingram.
Jamarcus Ingram, Ingram.
Instagram, but like.
with an I?
Ingram.
It's not Ed Ingram?
I-N and then Graham.
Okay. I'll say the Houston Texans because that's the only Ingram I know right
now. I'm going to say the Arizona Cardinals. What do you think?
He is right.
Oh, wow. Houston Texans.
Is it Ed?
Maybe Ed's name is Jamarcus. Did we know that?
No, I just got lucky. It's two Ingrams on the same team.
How about that? Okay, next one. Spin the wheel, Stone.
Greedy Vance.
Greedy. Remember that dude? Oh, man, I know that.
Greedy Vance.
I think he's Vance. I think he's notable for that name for most from college.
I remember Greedy Williams, the cornerback. Greedy Vance, this is your guess, my friend. I'm gonna step aside here.
I will say, give me the Chargers.
Las Vegas
Raiders. Give me the next one, number three for you, Stone. What's the third name to know? We're doing what, one of two so far, all thanks to you.
Oh,
this
lucky.
Is a completely weird name, so I'm just going to show Dad this.
Eku Leota, Ekuleota.
Jeez. These are tough, man. I feel like we got this on expert mode. Ekuleota. I'm going to say the Washington Commanders.
Chicago Bears.
You guys are both wrong.
Okay.
Arizona Cardinals.
Okay, give me number four. This is a very, very difficult day of trivia here on Overtime. What you got for me for the fourth one?
For some reason, he has Kool-Aid in his name.
Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Oh.
I know this one. You know this
Lions,
one?
Lions, right?
He plays for the New Orleans Saints.
Oh, yeah.
Correct? Yep. Okay, so we're doing good. We're a team. We can have two guesses here. Last one, number five. Let it rip, Stone.
Zero flanker. Oh, wait. That one's on the Packers. We can't do that
one. Oh, come on. Future Hall of Famer, Zaire Franklin, linebacker, Syracuse man.
Why is his
man.
PFF like 35?
He's amazing. He had a bad year with Indy. Bad year last year.
Who's the last one?
Really good player.
Seth Coleman?
Seth Coleman.
Buccaneers.
Miami Dolphins.
Okay, let's move on. That was not great for Dustin Baker and yours truly. Let's talk about Vikings camp battles. If fans are interested into a deep dive into the guys that could make the roster, the guys that won't make a roster, the bubble is interesting, but also what starting positions, primary backup positions, special team spots are up for grabs. Give me your camp battles outside of the obvious. You can wax poetic about quarterback for a moment if you want to. We talk about that every single week with you. There's a lot of battles on tap, though, for training camp.
Would you like me to start count them down?
Sure, let's do that.
All right, if we're going to start at the very bottom, so we're going to do the least important. The first one would be punter. God bless punters. They are important, but I think in NFL speak, they're kind of replaceable. Mm-hmm. So right now we have Brett Thorson and Johnny Hecker. And Brett Thorson was the best college punter in football last year. Johnny Hecker was the best college punter, or the best football, best punter in football 10 years ago. So something's got to give. It's a punter battle. I think Thorson will win this. I don't think Thorson should be battling a veteran. I think he's good enough to win the job on his own.
Interesting, quickly, let me interrupt, because Thorson to me is a obvious, gotta have it, Viking name on a jersey. Mm-hmm. You talk about guys like that, and there's guys that play in different places. The one for the Packers that came in a few years ago, he was in the UDFA realm, and I was rooting for this guy to make the team. It was Gerhard DeBeer, D-E-Beer, on the back of a Packers uniform. That was the Packeriest name of all time. Did not make the roster. So I'm rooting for Thorson for your sake to make it as your starting
punter. Yeah, it doesn't get much more Norwegian than the last name, Thorson. All right, my next one is RB3, the third running back. Damon Claiborne will probably win this, but Xavier Scott is in the mix. He was the RB3 last year. The only reason that this would be up for debate is that the Vikings drafted Dwayne McBride in 2023, and he was cut. He was a seventh rounder that was cut before, you know, we even got to the regular season. So I think that there will be a roster battle in spirit there. Then you have nose tackle, and this is only about a short-term battle because Dominic Orange was picked in round three from Iowa State to be the long-term nose tackle. But whether or not rookies start week one is kind of hit and miss. So at training camp, I think you're going to be watching Levi Drake Rodriguez and Dominique Orange go at it for who is the immediate starter, with the understanding that eventually Orange, assuming he's good, will take over. The next is safety. We don't know if Harrison Smith is coming back. Every day that he doesn't, it gets a little more weird. Like, why doesn't he just say something? If we're going on, my goodness, 7 months of a mystery about Harrison Smith. This is a battle because without Smith, there's kind of opportunity next to Josh Metellus. We think Josh Metellus will start for sure. But after that, you have a rookie, Jacoby Thomas from Miami. You have Jay Ward, who looks great in the last final five games. And then Theo Jackson, who was a starter to begin the 2025 season. So that's certainly a battle. It won't be that big of a battle if Harrison Smith, you know, returns, because we'll have the setup that we know and love. And then the next one, I guess, would be number two on this list, if we're counting them down, and we've already talked about quarterback, would be center. So Blake Brandel is going to be given an opportunity, we think, to be the starting center. He's huge for a starting center. He's like 6'7" with a quarterback who's 5'9", 5'10". How's that going to work? Blake Brandel has quietly been one of the best Vikings draft picks since the last decade because he was a sixth rounder. You know, he stuck around the whole time. He's played every position on the offensive line. And instead of drafting Logan Jones, Sam Hecht, Jake Slaughter, or Connor Liu, or signing like Luke Fortner or Cade Mays in free agency, the Vikings decided that, hey, we're just going to promote Blake Brandel. So he'll have to win the job over Michael Juergens, who was a rookie a couple years ago, and then a seventh rounder named Gavin Gerhardt from Cincinnati. And then the keynote battle after quarterback would be the third pass rusher, which we've talked about a few times now in the last several weeks. Normally, Vikings football is all set at edge rusher. You either have Patrick Jones, DJ Wonnum, or Dallas Turner in the last 2 years as your third guy to rush the passer. So right now, it is Andrew Van Ginkle and Dallas Turner because Jonathan Greenard was shipped to the Eagles. And we don't know if Tyrion Ingram-Dawkins is fully going to convert to an outside linebacker. It sounds like it. We don't know if rookie Jake Galladay is going to be used like Andrew Van Ginkle, where he can play off the edge. Otherwise, it's down to undrafted guys like Bo Richter and Tyler Batty. Otherwise, free agency always has a lot of sweet edge rushers. Von Miller, let's see, Jadeveon Clowney, Leonard Floyd. There's a lot
of Hassan Reddick.
Yeah, there's a lot of options. So I would say that understanding the pecking order of the outside linebacker room after Van Ginkle and Turner would be the top attraction at training camp after the quarterback battle.
So I like that list, and certainly a lot to agree with there for Minnesota. If I were to ask you, because there's some strong opinions, a lot of people have a tendency to lean towards the draft picks. We invested the capital. I want this guy to be good right now. Of those battles you gave me, is there one that you would like to go a certain way more than any other? Is it Damon Claiborne winning RB3, maybe even RB2, maybe RB1? Would you like to see Jacoby Thomas hit the ground running? Which one of those players in a battle do you want to win the most?
Okay, so I didn't mention Caleb Banks at all because he's a first rounder. It's really not important to me if he's in a battle because eventually he's going to get an audition to start. I think from the trajectory of training camp, I'm most interested to see if Caleb Banks is ready. Like, the Vikings have missed on a lot of draft picks in the last 4 years. They can't afford to have a redshirt season from a guy they knew was injured to begin with. So I would say, outside of a battle, how soon Caleb Banks plays. I don't need him to be a Pro Bowler. I just need him to look competent and play as a rookie. Other than that, you nailed it on the head. I would just be tickled to death if Damon Claiborne turned into a summer success story where he gets touches and it's not just a complete footnote. Like I said, and Dwayne McBride has kind of scarred Vikings fans where we're like, well, we'll have to see where it all works out. But Claiborne has 4.37 speed. He's 5'9", 195 pounds. The Vikings are desperate for a young running back to break out. When I go to training camp with this dude next to me, I'll be watching with my own eyes to see if Claiborne looks like he can be an eventual RB1.
Again, we're far from sports training experts, far from athletics experts here in the studio, but if you were in the Minnesota Vikings building and they had a request for Claiborne to add 5 or 10 pounds to his frame, do you think that's wise, or do you think it's best to just leave him as what he was in college? Because he feels like a little bit too small to be that guy. And I'm talking about a guy that could carry the lion's share in a couple of years. You probably want a little bit more bulk on a frame, even if he's a little smaller stature. You want him to be able to roll with the punches and absorb some hits. Would you like to see him get a little heavier if you had a preference?
No, for two reasons, because I should have prefaced what I said. I don't ever expect him to turn into like Adrian Peterson. I think his upside could be the headliner of an RB1 or headliner of an RB1 room where he also has a competent RB2 to bail him out, like a Kenneth Gainwell type.
Yep.
So I think at that stature, it's just fine. The other thing is that Frank Smith, the Vikings' new assistant head coach, just came from the Dolphins, and Devon Achane and Demond Claiborne are like the exact same size. Achane's a little bit faster, but if Frank Smith could cook with Achane at his size, I think he can cook with Claiborne.
All right, there's your training camp preview of sorts, including roster battles, Vikings training camp battles to follow. Lastly, my friend, broad strokes of the NFL, Kyler Murray, J.J. McCarthy, unsurprisingly, not in the quarterback rankings, top 10 at ESPN.com. Did you have an issue with how that all shook out? Of course, the top five wasn't really crazy debatable. You had Allen 1, Mahomes 2. You had Burrow, Lamar, and Stafford in the top five. But 6 through 10 was just kind of a mess. It was Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, Justin Herbert, who has been an underachiever. You also had other names in there like Caleb Williams in the top 10. What quarterback, if it's Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, Sam Darnold, Jordan Love, you want to fluff him up a little bit? What quarterback should be in the top 10 that wasn't? And is there anything that surprised you in those rankings?
Ooh, I'd have to pull them up real quick to see who was, let's see. It'd basically be somebody who needed to take Caleb Williams' spot because Caleb Williams, who I fully admit will probably be really good, needs to do a lot more than have one awesome throw against the Packers in the postseason. So I think Caleb is on the upward pace. Do you have the top 10 pulled
up? I'm pulling it up here right now.
Yeah, so rattle it off.
Yeah, so you've got, of course, Allen at 1 as I continue to scroll and buy some time. You had Allen 1, you had Mahomes 2, Stafford 3, and then Burrow 4, Lamar 5. So here we go. I found the article. It is loading. I had the right top five, but then 6 through 10, 6 is Dak Prescott, which again, like, I really am a Dak Prescott fan, but he's not in hardly any postseason success. I believe one playoff win against the Tom Brady-led Buccaneers back in the day. Herbert, 7. Drake May, 8. Goff, 9. Caleb, 10. To me, to put Goff and Caleb in particular ahead of Jalen Hurts and Sam Darnold is wrong.
Yeah.
We can argue about Jordan Love. I think Love, at best, is probably the 9th best quarterback today. That's me being a homer. I think he's probably 10 or 11, if I'm being honest right now. What big problem did you have with the rankings?
Okay, so I love Drake May, but I don't know that I would have him in the top 10 yet because of two reasons. He played a really easy schedule last year, and he looked like an idiot during the AFC Championship and Super Bowl individually, and nobody really cared. He just kind of got a pass. And then Caleb I would probably have just on the outside, which means if I was stacking them up, I'd probably have somebody like Trevor Lawrence and his trajectory closer to the top 10. I don't have any issue with that first 7 or 8, even Herbert in there. But I think we're a little bit too low on Jalen Hurts because there's a good chance that we're hanging out in November and we're like, God, how do we ever write that guy off? Like, he's not a very awesome pure passer, but it matters if they're going to keep this tush push legal and he scores 15 rushing touchdowns. That matters. And, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of skill, but it takes strength, and it's important on the scoreboard. So I would for sure have Hurts right now over May and Williams with the understanding that that'll probably be flipped on its head before too long.
And certainly it helps that Jalen Hurts is pretty darn good at the most important thing, that is winning football games as well as a quarterback. That's the latest Vikings news, NFL talk, and more. Vikings Thursday, July 16th. Dustin Baker of VikesNow.com. Also TradeVerdicts.com. Check it out today for all of your sports needs. Dustin, we'll do it again next week, my friend. Always great to talk to you.
Yeah, likewise. We'll see you then.
All right. Lot of Vikings talk. Always jam-packed into an hour number one on a Thursday. When we come back, it's hour two. Headlines and highlights. More talk about Lionel Messi, as well as MVFC Media Day sound, interviews, things you may have missed, NFL news, World Cup talk, and the good, the bad, and the ugly. Coming up in a busy hour number two. Coming up around the corner, right here on your Sioux Falls sports leader at ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.